Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo. I believe it's Bob.
Bob, back on frequency here. Yeah, I've got the car running now. Is this Kenny? Over.
No, sir. This is Chad. I talked with you yesterday and made a suggestion you start the car so I can listen to what's going on with your radio, but you had some clothing issues yesterday, so here we are again, so we'll pick back up.
Of course, my memory's bad. Sorry about getting the name wrong. Anyway, I'm mobile now, going down the road, so you notice any difference?
No, sir. I don't know what you've done, but like I said yesterday, I wouldn't change a thing. You sound nice and clean. No noise that I can tell. I don't know of any suggestion I can make. You sound just right on the X.
But here, appreciate it. I got to go back and dress up some of the wiring. It was kind of a quick install. Just moved in to a house a few months back and just been really busy doing other things. But I did want to get my mobile set up and start meeting some of the guys, so that's what I decided to do yesterday on that pretty day we had. So how are you today?
Pretty good. I've been dealing with broke down bobcats all morning, but I think I got one of them straightened out, and I'm headed back to the house with the tool truck, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do the rest of the day. I may just go in there and mess around with the radios a little bit.
Good option. So anyway, I take it that you're a mobile repair guy for the equipment?
No, sir. I am retired military. And I'm not sure how to describe myself. I guess retired military, and got a machine shop and some equipment that we maintain the farm with, and not really trustworthy of other businesses doing work for us, you know, as far as machining and welding and repairing goes. So I just kind of do it ourselves, you know. We've got a couple bobcats and a backhoe and things like that. And if you can't do it yourself, it gets expensive real quick. And sometimes the work that they do, we're just kind of picky about stuff like that. And we just try to do it ourselves, if you know what I mean.
What you mean? That's right. If you want it done right, do it yourself, is the saying. And that's unfortunately true, maybe more true now than it has been in the past for whatever reason. Well, I'm retired as well. I've been retired over 20-something years, and I'm also, but I'm ex-military, not retired military. Got to give way to an ambulance here. I guess you can hear that. At least she's not coming for me. Over.
Always a good thing. It's always good to wake up on this side of the dirt. But yeah, so I'm 49. My name is Chad. Like I said, retired military, and just got a small farm here in Campobello, and we just do everything we can to keep it maintained, equipment and animals and wives and dogs and machine shops and everything else, you know. I mean, it's just just part of the routine, I guess.
For a living, more or less, or you just do it for your own pleasure and your own subsistence?
Farm for money, but now we just do primarily subsistence. We got a bunch of goats and chickens and things like that. And I mean, we're not, I don't want to give the wrong idea here. I mean, we're not self-sufficient, you know, but we do pretty good, take care of ourselves, you know, as far as some food goes. But anything else, we pretty much just do it ourselves, you know, unless it's, you know, brain surgery or something like that.
Guys like you, the idea of self-sufficiency is a good idea, but that involves quite a bit. I kind of like to think I'm prepared. I live on 4 acres, and I'm sure you got many more acres than that. We don't do any farming, but we do try to, can stuff, local vegetables that we get, things of that nature. Think about maybe getting some chickens next year, but that's on a much smaller scale than what you do. But having some way to take care of yourself to some degree is always a good idea.
We have to. Like I said, we just from an equipment standpoint, if you just can't. You just really can't afford to. If we were in business, running equipment, moving dirt or things like that, I'm sure that'd be a little different story. But if you're not making money to keep the equipment repaired, then you don't have a lot of options unless you've got a lot of money. We don't. So we just, Dad's a retired welder, and we've accumulated a bunch of machine tools over the years, so he's the welder, and I'm the machinist, and we just kind of self-taught, that kind of thing, Dad went to school to be a welder, but I joined the military. And as far as the machining goes, it's all self-taught. But, if you're going to try to maintain what we got, we just can't afford to pay outside services to make repairs when it's time,
Yeah, plus, it's always good to be able to do it yourself, as we said before. So that's a good... What was your skill in the military and what branch?
Army, and I started off as a light wheel vehicle mechanic, and then in artillery, self-propelled artillery unit, and then about 2 years later I went to heavy wheel and got bored with that. About 3 years later I went to track mechanic, working on the hull portion of the self-propelled howitzers. And then on the 13th year, I just had an epiphany one day and said, hey, there's a better way to earn a dollar. So I changed my MOS completely and moved over to communications and went to Fort Gordon, Georgia, and got trained on troposcatter and tactical satellite communications. And finished out my career in communications, working with heavy, medium, tropo, and tactical satellite, which is big microwave stuff.
Well, a nice broad experience there, from equipment to communications. I'm sure that kind of led into the amateur radio hobby. I'm associated indirectly with the military as far as the Mars program, and the reason I say that is it seems like the information that we received was that the Army years ago made a decision to get away from HF, and now they're trying to get back in it. You know anything about that?
I'm tentatively part of the AF Mars program. We're trying to get my radio modified so I can begin the training portion of it. But I put in an application with Mars through the NETCOM website about 4 months ago on the Army side, and I haven't heard a single thing. I mean, no emails, no replies, nothing. So I just put my application in on the AF Mars side, and it's about 24 hours. I had a guy call me, and they're trying to help me get my radio set up and, you know, do what I got to do to get involved in the program. But I just didn't have any luck with the Army side of it. I'm not sure what happened. I guess they don't need my services, I guess.
I was actually AF at one time when I first joined the program and then switched over to Army. Army's kind of going through in this region here a little bit of a changeover, and I think they don't have all their ducks in a row.
I've heard some, that's what I've heard too. So, you know, I just decided, I'm going to be a part of the AF side if they'll have me. And like I said, I mean, it wasn't long they contacted me. So we'll see. I mean, I'm going to hopefully get my radio modified this week. And hopefully I'll be included in the training program. So 6 months, I have to go through a training program for 6 months, and they'll give me a call sign that has a T on the end of it for trainee. And then, you know, if I complete the program, then they'll move me into the full program. But it's pretty interesting. I have really nice people. I've made some really, really nice contacts and just extremely helpful.
Do well, and they'll be lucky to have you. It is an interesting program, both Army and the Air Force. I've got friends in the AF program, and they're really knowledgeable, nice guys. So yeah, you'll enjoy the program. The training does take a little bit of time, and you know, to learn it the military way, you know what I'm talking about there. But getting back to that that HF question, seems to be the situation that the military kind of got themselves into, that they were all impressed with the satellite communications and all the other fancy equipment that they had, and they drifted away from HF, and now they realize, hey, that'd be a nice thing to have in our hip pocket.
I can honestly say, though, that we had HF in our unit. I did two deployments overseas, and I can honestly say I don't think I have ever seen an HF antenna set up while I was in service. Now, we were a communication unit. We you know, handle, you know, bulk data, heavy data, secure data, just gobs of it. So, I mean, I'm not saying that the Army doesn't use HF, but I've never seen it used at all. I mean, the radios we had, as far as the small stuff goes, was the SINGARs, single-channel air-ground radios. And the little go kit that comes with them, it came with a dipole, but we never put them up. I mean, we never ever used them. I mean, we did our yearly inventories to make sure it was there, but never seen it used. So when I moved over to, you know, well, when I retired, I just said, I don't want anything to do with communication gear ever again. I'm done. You know, well, 5-6 years go by, and then, you know, here I am. But I just haven't had any training on HF at all, and I just really struggled. So let me let this repeater cycle. Oscar 4, November uniform, Echo. So on the net, there's a net on this frequency every night at 9 o'clock. And on Tuesday nights, K4OIM, he sponsors a training program for, you know, new hams coming into ham radio. And they can come there on Tuesday nights and ask whatever question they want. So I've been involved in that for, I don't know, going on 3 months now. And, man, I'm going to tell you, those guys, there's some really smart guys in this area that hang around on the net on Tuesday nights to answer questions. And that's how I've been Elmered on the HF side, completely through this repeater on Tuesday nights. And I'm just extremely thankful. I mean, because I don't know what I would have done if, you know, I hadn't had that. But just really nice group of guys. And you can check in every night at 9 o'clock. There's a different net controller every night. So, you know, Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo for station ID.
Sugar Victor. Well, what you said, based on your experience in the Army, is kind of what goes along with that report that I read, last year, year before, about the military losing the HF skills and something that you're trying to recover. In fact, there's an exercise, Mars exercise, coming up, I think, next month, actually communicating with some of the field units about HF, trying to get them trained back up to some degree. And as you well know, if you don't exercise your skills, HF skills and other things, you're going to lose them. And so it's interesting anyway. And I wish I knew more about HF than I do. I know just about one half of 1%.
Ted, I mean, when we went through the training, even in classroom, I don't remember. I mean, I remember it. We had like one block of instruction on it on paper. You know, this is what a dipole is, and here's the frequency ranges, and blah, blah, and then we moved right on to something else, you know. So, I mean, they just skipped completely right over it. And, I mean, rightly so, I guess, because just the kind of, the amount of data that, you know, we handled, I just don't think HF would support that, I guess. I don't know. I don't think it would. But, I mean, that's, I kind of was thinking microwave, he's pretty good at that as far as, you know, just gobs and gobs of data. But I sure wish I'd had the training, because it's been, I've enjoyed the last 3 months with the guys teaching me on the net. But there were some days there where I was just thinking, I'll never get this figured out, and I'm just wondering if it's worth it. But, you know, a couple of them kind of took me off to the side and said, hey, look, you know, you just need to slow down a little bit and think about, you know, let's, without getting into all that, just saying, I just a wonderful group on this net, and it's just been so helpful, and I'm just really appreciative.
Support group, that is for sure. A good Elmer is very essential in whatever you decide to do. Well, I'm sure you'll do well in it. And, you know, both Mars programs are for the what-if scenario. So it won't be, obviously HF won't carry the amount of data that you're talking about, like microwave and satellite, things of that nature. But it's the what-if things where you don't have that option, then that becomes a problem. And I have heard of, there's some HF modes, whether that be digital HF or whatever, I don't know too much about it, but I have heard that there's some pretty good throughput with that type of HF. So there are some newer things out there that, of course, you and I will never see it, but I think they're there anyway.
So I guess to kind of put it into perspective, kind of sort of what we did was, let's see, how can I put this? Okay, let's say you had 15 ham operators that was running a digital HF. Well, we would take those 15 operators and connect them to the side of the shelter, and we'd multiplex all of those. And many, 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 many more users. And we'd multiplex all of that into just one big data stream on microwave. And we'd just, you know, mount set all the way around the world, you know. Just gobs and gobs of it. And so that kind of puts things into perspective about, you know, kind of sort of what we did. But it's still a digital mode, but it was collecting all the users and multiplexing all of those individual users to do, you know, handle all that bulk data.
I've been over in the Greer area, back in Pickens now, and my wife's got a sandwich waiting for me, and I guess I better close out here, but maybe we can pick up the conversation again, and I can check in with you and see how your progress goes with your AF training, and it'll be a fun experience for you. Over.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed the conversation, Bob, and I've got a deer camp up in Pickens. I go up there 2 days a week, and right on the 12-mile river. So maybe one day I'll make contact with you, and we can meet there in town for lunch. But enjoy the QSO. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, and I'll be clear. And go in there and get your sandwich, Bob. Nice talking with you, sir. I'm clear.
I am listening, QRZ, so the email in there should be correct. So, yeah, give me a heads up. I'd love to meet you for lunch somewhere. It'd be great. Have a good day. KJ4 Sugar Victor.
It's N0TR Mobile.
BH, listening.
BH, KO4HKX. How are you today, Andrew? It's Patrick.
All right. I'm out raking some leaves, trying to clean up the yard a little bit. How about yourself?
Your tool route.
Wicked, I reckon.
Who collect that money?
Let our yard get into a eternal state of decay, so rather than doing routine maintenance, we just kill ourselves trying to fix it all at one time.
I tell you, I'm about to give up on mine. I've tried for many years to get grass to grow, and I just got too much shade and too much water.
Back in July, and I went one level down. We were going on vacation for a week, and it was back when it was growing, you know, super quick, and I knew it was going to be a good 2 weeks before I get to it, so I cut it one level down from what I normally do, and it killed the entire front yard.
But I ain't got time for all that.
Be a project for next year, but I'm just going to do some cleaning up to where it at least looks somewhat presentable, like decent people actually live here.
Tough out there too, Bad, but I'm going to have to jump off here. I'm at my next stop. I just wanted to say hello. Have fun breaking them leaves and digging up that grass. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear on your phone. 73.
Patrick, I'll probably be on here for a while listening in, so if you get back on, I'll probably be listening. K1ABH.
BHN0TR. My name here is Tom, and talk to you later, Patrick. And sound like you're having fun for the day. We're out here on Vern Smith Parkway, out towards the inland port.
Not familiar with that, but yeah, Tom, I think we talked for the first time. It's probably been about a week ago. Can't remember exactly what day it was.
No, we did, but I can't remember your name this morning. I was thinking Steve, but I'm probably wrong.
Just almost.
Okay, Andrew. Well, I'm getting a little older now, 73, and so I have a tendency to forget some. Oh boy, here comes a Mercedes. They don't have any speed limits, so I'm gonna let him get by. Oh, the inland port, it's something to behold. You can't see too much of it from out here, but it's shipping containers as far as the eye can see. And they send stuff on down to Charleston, I think. And they're pulling in and out here in front of us with all those Chinese containers, trailers, you know. Man, there's a bunch of them coming in and out. And it's a beautiful day out here. Well, our grass is going good. We got fescue, and it's green and looks beautiful. We just got aerating and fertilizing and seeding.
Two of my best friends that do lawn care for a living, so I decided to talk to them about it, and I think that's what we're going to plant, some tall fescue. We could do it right now, we just don't have the time or money to put into it this fall, so I think we're going to wait until spring and try and get some thrown in.
Roger. Well, our daughter used to own Lawn Doctor of Greer, and she tells us what to put in, and it does get a little pricey. But I'll tell you, it's beautiful to have green grass all winter, and you don't have to mow it near as much. But you do have to once in a while. It's growing like weeds right now. One of my neighbors on the east side, that's all she's got, and she don't care. And all of her crabgrass is going to seed now. I wish she would mow it. But I never used to care when I was up in Kansas. We've been down here 11 years, and I didn't really give a darn about the grass. But after the daughter got me interested, it's sort of a hobby with us now that we're retiring.
I almost kind of depressed myself the other day because I've always, you know, people I work with and whatnot, they're always a little bit older, and they all about keeping up the grass and having a good-looking lawn. And I thought, man, I just got better stuff to do, and now I find myself being that person, so I guess that's just a sign of getting older.
It is indeed. You got time to watch the grass grow. Real interesting. Well, we just been over to Sam's and Costco's and got a load of groceries for the daughter, and got to take those down there in one of those beautiful rotisserie chickens they have. And gonna stop down there, and the grandsons get October 1st and 2nd off from school, so we'll get to see them. And they got all good grades this time, so we're proud of that. And we usually give them a little bonus when they get good grades. Not for the grades, just for the character of getting them, I guess you would say.
Look forward to with my parents. We got a 4- and 2-year-old, so we don't do grades yet, but they're learning their alphabet and numbers right now.
10-0-TR. Well, Andrew, I'll tell you, the mathematics they do anymore with that Common Core is the craziest thing I've ever seen. As long as they learn it, I guess I don't have a problem with it, but I'll tell you for sure, it's kind of funny the way they teach things now. I couldn't do a division problem the way they do, I don't think. My life depended on it.
Looking forward to that at all, because I was a engineering major when I started college, and wound up switching majors, but I'm a very mathematically inclined person. I actually love math, and if they go about it some nonsensical way, that's just going to get under my skin.
They do, don't they, Bruce?
Yes, they do.
I mean, this plain old division and stuff like that, it's just crazy. Well, I like math. I'm not too much on the higher math, but I've had some of it, of course, everybody does. But that's wonderful. That's a good thing to know. Our youngest daughter that we're going to now, she was a polymer engineer. So plastics engineering was her major, and business. And she did that for a long time for Toyota Technical Center up in Dearborn, Michigan. And then she went to General Electric. She worked for two or three companies there in Michigan when she first got out of university. And then she now works for GE down here, been there about 16, 17 years, I guess. And she just juggles money now, as far as what I can tell. Sit there looking in Excel charts all day and in meetings all day.
Why I wound up switching major. My dream was to finish in automotive engineering and go to Dearborn, Michigan, actually myself, and work for Ford. I wanted to be a diesel engine engineer, and it was a little naive of me, because when it came time to thinking about jobs to have, the type of work I like to do was, you know, the work with my hands, and that wasn't what the education I was getting was for. My education was going to be for, like you just described with your daughter, sitting in an office on a computer and sending the work to the guys downstairs, and I just, it just wasn't going to be for me.
Mobile down here by the GSB airport. Well, you know, Amy, for a long time, she interfaced between production and engineering, and she really liked that. And she was very pretty, and she said, "That never hurt, Dad. You know, when you was trying to figure something out, everybody was really helpful." And I said, "Well, use everything you got, hon." And she really enjoyed that, and so she's had a little bit of both. Now, her husband, he was a test driver up there for, there goes a plane taking out over us. For Visteon, they build dashboards and all kinds of stuff, and he would take cars out and test them to the nth degree up in the upper peninsula of Michigan for that company, and he liked that. He has a master's in mechanical engineering from Ohio State and holds a patent or two, but he come down here, worked for GE a while. Now he works for a machine tool company over here, and he was their, one of their engineering managers there in the machine shop. So he gets to go out there and interface with them, and he really likes that. For a little while, just before the car industry went down, he worked for BMW as a test driver and got to drive cars at Talladega and places like that. And boy, he ate that up. But when the auto industry went all to heck back in the, I guess, 80s or 90s, they laid a bunch of people off, and unfortunately, he was one of them.
That would have been something to enjoy the ride on, for sure, no pun intended. But, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I got halfway through my engineering degree, and something got under my skin to go into law enforcement, and what a terrible decision that was. I'm actually in the process of switching careers now, and I can't get out fast enough. It's just no longer a rewarding career. I've done it for the last 8 years, and I cannot get out fast enough.
Lisa said she understands, and I do too. God bless you for what you do. It's a thankless job anymore, and we don't even have backing from our president or our law enforcement people up there in the Department of Justice and that. It's just gotten out of control, so I don't blame you. Now, my brother-in-law, who was like a brother to me, was on the Wichita Police Force for 26 years ago. And when he retired, he went to Boeing and worked as a security guard. And guys, at that time, he made $4 or $5 an hour at least, plus he had 401 and all the other health things and stock options from Boeing. Just working security, he started out, this would have been in the early 70s or 80s, at $19.95 an hour, and that was big money back then. So security could be an option with your background.
I'm working on getting on with Duke Energy as a lineman. It's what I just applied for. I'm hoping to hear back any day now from that. But one of the guys that I know that works for them is kind of helping me out with it. He mentioned that up at the nuclear plant. I tell you, I'm kind of to a point with it where I just want to do something totally 360 opposite.
Well, that's understandable. But it might be something to get you over to Hump to give you an opportunity to choose another profession. But, yeah, I can see where you get burned out. I thought of it, but it just, pretty rough job nowadays. I'll tell you, being a lineman, you want to be in good health, but I dreamed of doing that, but I waited around too long until I was too old. I was about 40 when I applied at Kansas Gas and Electric, and they said that was their cutoff date. They didn't tell me that, of course, but a friend of mine who was an administrative person, he said, "Tom," he says, "you're wasting your time." He says, "You can put in your application, we'll take it." But he said, in all honesty, he says, they won't hire you. But I can understand that. But I'll tell you what, if I had to choose another career, I'd do the same thing. If you can get into, Greenville Tech or something like that, and learn PLCs, they're in industry on everything, the programmable logic computers, and they pay quite well. And you can just about go anywhere if you get that two-year degree.
I could kick myself for ever changing majors because I didn't need to. The only reason I did was I was planning on going federal with law enforcement, and Clemson had a co-op program through the U.S. Marshals Service, and you had to be one of a set number of majors, and I found that academia tends to embellish the truth a little bit, and they, you know, of course they are going to make it sound like, you know, well, I guess they got to pitch their product, but, you know, you get that degree and people are going to be kicking your door down, begging you to come work for them, and I was under the naive impression that if I changed majors and got into that, you know, I'd be a shoe-in. And right when I had changed majors and got far enough into the sociology degree that I was ready to apply for the co-op, and Barack Obama had shut down all federal hiring except for the Secret Service and the co-op programs along with it, so I was kind of stuck holding that one.
Thank you, Democrats. I shouldn't have said that. Over and over and over. That's pretty sad. Yeah, that would have been good. I've been to the FBI Academy in Washington, D.C., but not as a part of it by any means. My brother worked for the Military Personnel Command in Washington, D.C., and we went out to Quantico, and he showed me where the FBI Academy was and that. And back then, that was a good gig, but nowadays, as you say, it's not so desirable. Even they are politicized anymore, unfortunately.
1ABH. Yeah, if you can weather the politics, federal is actually not too bad. You don't deal with the day-to-day nonsense that the local guys do, and it pays considerably better. And I considered it. One of my good friends with Greenville County is working on getting on with them, and he was trying to talk me into applying, but the only problem there is they're going to put you somewhere out in the middle of nowhere when you first get hired, and my wife would kill me if she had to separate from her family more than 100 miles. So it's just, and I actually look forward to, you know, the lineman work is actually something, you know, I didn't just pick it out of thin air. It's work I think I would enjoy. It is the type of work I think I would enjoy. And I can't find anything else that I don't need to go back to school for that is going to pay as well as it does.
No, and they have a good apprenticeship program, and it pays very well. If you're in good health, you can hack it. But I love working on high voltage. I work probably 98% of the time. Everything I worked on was 480 volts, three phase, and it was huge industrial equipment. And worked on all the rest, single phase stuff. But I love the three phase stuff. And it's funny, there was a Duke Energy guy there the other day putting in a meter, and I was talking to him. He says, "Oh, they tell us there's more than two wires going into it. Don't touch it." And I thought, "Oh, my God." He was just a young guy. And that new digital meter that they put in less than a year ago failed. I didn't even know it because it goes ahead and feeds through it, but it wasn't communicating with the satellite or something. But maybe I knocked it out with my ham radio. Who knows? yeah, he pulled that out, and he was standing there, and the generator started right below his feet. But that kid jumped a foot. Shoot. Well, good luck on that, Andrew, and very nice chatting with you. We are at the Daughters over here in my happy plantations, what they call it, 73s. K1ABF, I think it is, or ABH, I'm not sure. I apologize for that. 73s, Andrew. Have a good day.
That was good talking to you once again. And it's K1ABH. You had a ride on that second one. And again, good talking to you.
KX Mobile.